All right. Well, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. How are we doing this afternoon? Well, praise God. It's so exciting to be in the house of the Lord again and to be back up in the pulpit. Hallelujah. And we have all kinds of work going on right now, and there's so many amazing things that are taking place, and God has been so faithful, and it's been an incredible, incredible journey throughout this year. It's been challenging, it's been difficult, but God has seen us through. Hallelujah. And so we are excited for what God is bringing to pass, what is about to take place. And even as we are talking about the Magnificat of God, God doing amazing things that will cause us to praise and worship Him, man, I tell you, we have had that experience this year, haven't we? God has done amazing things that will cause us to glorify His name. And that is what God has been doing for us. He has proven Himself faithful. His faithfulness has been fabulous towards us. And we have reason to give thanks. His grace and His mercy has been poured out, and we have experienced that. And now we know that it is because Christ came into the world that we have life and have it more abundantly. God came down from above. He came down from on high. And as we start this theme for this month, we understand all that God has done for us. He has been graceful, hasn't He? Gracious towards us. Have you experienced God's graciousness in your life? Oh, yes, He has. And not only that, He's been faithful to the promises. And He has been faithful to the things that He said. God honors His word. And He stands behind those things that He has said. And He is faithful to us. And that is why Jesus came down in fulfillment of a promise. He said, I do nothing of myself, but only those things which I see my Father doing. That's what I do. And that is what you and I are called to do. We don't do what the world is doing. We do what we see the Word of God says we ought to be doing. We do the things that God is doing. And so that brings us to the point today that God has given us the ability to overcome. In fact, He has given us keys. He's given us keys to the kingdom of God. And these keys are designed to lock and unlock things. And as we go through life, we face many challenges, things that need to be locked up and things that need to be unlocked and released. And so we are asking the question today, have you ever lost your keys? Have you ever lost your keys? Yeah, I know, I've lost it every day. Oh my goodness. Well, I know what it's like to lose my keys. And you know, you put them down and then you've got other things on your mind and you walk off and you do things and your keys are lost. And then you find yourself scrambling looking for keys. Have you ever found yourself scrambling looking for keys? And when you're looking for keys, you can't think of anything else, can you? It doesn't matter. Sometimes you forget what you even needed the keys for. And you're just going around and you're just trying to find the keys, and it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. You don't care about anything. You got to find those keys. And we have to learn that Jesus is the key. Jesus is the key. My wife taught me that a long time ago when I lost my keys, and I was losing my keys, not every day, but often enough. And she said, why don't you just ask the Holy Spirit where your keys are? And I said, what are you talking about? That's crazy. I asked the Holy Spirit where my keys are. And so I kept looking. I was like, yeah, yeah. And so I'm looking around. I couldn't find the keys. And finally she said, did you ask the Holy Spirit where the keys are? I said, no. She says, and you won't find them. And I said, oh, yeah, thanks for your vote of confidence. And so I said, all right, Holy Spirit, could you just show me where the keys are, Lord? And so I was looking around, and I just went about doing something. A few minutes later, I came past by this area where the keys were. And I would have sworn they were not there when I looked, because I looked for those keys there. I looked there and I didn't see the keys. But all of a sudden now the keys are there. So I don't know, the Lord was playing hide and seek with me, with my keys, but the Holy Spirit revealed where the keys were. At least he opened my eyes to them so that I could see where they were. And so God, that's what he does. And the keys are designed to give us revelation into situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in so that the door can be open to us. And God is doing great things because we have been given the authority that we need. When you lose your keys, sometimes you may never find them, right? You may walk off and they may be in the street or somewhere. But it's good to know that Jesus is the key. And the Holy Spirit can bring back to your remembrance where your keys are so you can go back and find them. And so today I would like to use as a theme, where are the keys? Where are the keys? Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word, and we ask, oh God, that you would show us the keys. Show us where the keys are. Help us to understand these principles so that you might be glorified in our lives. Lord, we just ask, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds that we may understand and perceive from the perceptions of the kingdom of God, the perspective of the kingdom of God, and that, Lord, you would be glorified in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So where are the keys? It's the question we've all asked many times because we need the key to do something, right? Without keys, you can't get in the house. Without keys, you can't drive your car. Without keys, you can't go in and out of many different things. And keys are important because keys signify authority. And when we have authority, there's a key that goes along with it. There's a form of identification that enables us to be able to open things up or lock things down. In fact, God gives us keys so that we can be in a place of authority in the kingdom of God as well. And when we understand our authority as the people of God, we're able to use the biblical keys, the principles that God has given us, so that we can unlock the mysteries of heaven and of God. And those mysteries are revealed to us through the Word of God. And as we apply these principles, we begin to live life or have a different life experience than people who do not know the Lord. And our life shifts, our life changes, simply because of the understanding that we have of what the kingdom of God is about and the principles of the kingdom. And so we see this in the story here of Hezekiah's servant Eliakim in Isaiah 22:22. It says here in verse 22 that the key of the house of David I will lay upon his, Eliakim's, shoulder, and he shall open and no one shall shut, and shall shut and no one shall open. Now, this is the story is essentially that Hezekiah had a servant who was the master of the house. And in those days, and even today, people have authority over the kingdom. Hezekiah was the king, and he had his kind of second in command. You remember the story of Joseph, how he became second in command to Pharaoh? Well, it's the same principle. Joseph was given the keys to the kingdom of Egypt. And so, essentially, Eliakim was fulfilling the similar position in the kingdom of Israel, in the land of Israel. And as a result, he was given this position because his predecessor did a bad job. He did a terrible job, in fact. It was so bad that Hezekiah got rid of him. And so the position became available, and Eliakim fit the bill. And when Eliakim's life was examined, his skills and his abilities and his experiences, it was deemed that he was right for the position. And so Eliakim was given the keys to the kingdom. And what would happen in those days often was that there would be a ceremony where the person who was given this authority would come and he would kneel before the master of the house, or the king in this case, the king. And this ceremony would take place and a key would be placed on their shoulder to symbolize the authority that is being transferred from the king to this new person who is taking over the ruling and the oversight of either the kingdom or the household and all of the possessions of the one who owns that household. And so Eliakim was given this position of authority. And notice it says that he will shut and no one shall open, or he will open and no one will shut. And the idea is that he had the authority to make decisions as to who goes in and who comes out, or who has access to what. And it was all based on what was best for the master's house, or what was best for the kingdom. And this is the principle of the keys in the Word of God. And it helps us to understand why having the keys to the kingdom is important for us as a believer. And certainly the Word of God gives us many principles that relate to keys in order to help us to overcome, such as sowing and reaping, right? What you sow, you shall reap. Or the world would say, what goes around comes around, right? That's a good way of using the Word of God without acknowledging that it's the Word of God, right? And so what you sow and what you reap is a principle or a key to the kingdom. And that's why we don't sow sparingly, we sow generously. Because to the degree that you sow, that's the degree to which you will prosper in return. And the concept is a divine principle, which is why the rich get richer and poor get poorer. It's because the rich keep giving and the poor keep holding on. And when we don't understand the principle of being a giver or a sower, we tend to hold on when we should release, and we release when we should hold on. And that comes from the Spirit of God directing us and guiding us, so that even when you have a few things, when you're faithful with those few things, you can ultimately become ruler over many, because you understand the principle of managing your resources. But that's a whole nother sermon. And so Eliakim is in this position where he has received this authority. And now it says in verse 23, it says, I will fasten him like a peg or nail in a firm place, and he will become a throne of honor and glory to his father's house. Who does that sound like? Who was nailed to a firm place? Isn't that Jesus? Wasn't Jesus nailed to the cross and a firm place? And it was for the sake of Jesus being lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And what is that? That is honor to the kingdom of God. And when we see the cross, when we think of what Jesus did on the cross, it brings honor to God's kingdom. It brings honor to us. He has taken our place. And as a result, we become joint heirs with Christ when we receive him to ourselves. Isn't that right? And so he is a place of honor. He is lifted up. So the cross is where the place, or is the place where our authority is inherited. We inherit authority when we go to the cross. Jesus, in fact, John 1:12 says, to them that believe, to them he gave the power or the authority to become the children of God. It doesn't say you are a child of God just because you believe. Because we know that's true, because the devil believes, and he's still the devil, right? So it's not just believing, it's about what you've received from God. We have to receive from God. And that is, we receive the inheritance that the cross provides, or Christ provides through the cross, that enables us to have a right relationship with him and inherit the very authority that Christ has given us. And that is what makes us children of God, when we receive the Spirit of God. Jesus said, if you don't have my Spirit, you don't belong to me. And so you and I, we need to receive something when people come to Christ. And that's why a lot of times you see people, they'll pray a prayer, but there's no change in their life. And the reason there's no change is because they didn't receive something. And you can't receive unless your heart is right. And if your heart is yielded and surrendered, then the Spirit of God can come in when you invite him in, when you receive him. And you say, Lord, come into my heart. Lord, I receive you. And we're receiving something beyond believing. Believing is good. Many people believe. In fact, the statistics show that a vast majority of people in this country believe in God, that God is there. They even believe that Jesus is the Son of God. However, they're not born again. And the reason they're not born again is because they have not received the Spirit of God. And so it is at the cross where we inherit these things. And the second thing we learn here is that a good steward uses their talents to bring honor to the house. That's what we see taking place here in Isaiah 22:22. It was for the purpose of bringing honor to the house. Joseph brought honor to Pharaoh's house. And everything you and I do, when we are operating in a right spirit, in the Spirit of God, we bring honor to the kingdom of God or the house of God. And everything we do, our gifts, our talents, and our abilities are all being used for the sake of what? Bringing honor and glory to God, right? To his kingdom. So, yes. And so, and that's what God has designed. That is a key to the kingdom. Use your gifts and talents to benefit the kingdom of God and the house of God, and you will prosper in all your ways. In fact, the Word of God says, you will prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. So if your soul is prospering, then you will have good health over time. God will continue to sustain you. Why? Because you're using your life and your body to benefit the kingdom of God. So a lot of times people will pray, God, heal me, deliver me, and then they go off and do their own thing. Well, why did God waste the healing on you? You're not concerned about the kingdom of God. So why would God want to heal somebody who's not going to use their gifts and their talents and their abilities or even give thanks to God? You see, if you look at the Gospels, pretty much everyone who experienced a healing gave thanks to God, right? Well, in the story of the 10 lepers, 9 of them kept going, right? And one came back and gave thanks. But the blind men and those who were raised from the dead and those who experienced all the other things, they all gave thanks to God. And that is what enables you to operate in a place of perpetual divine experiences in God. Just being able to remember and giving thanks to God. It's a spiritual principle. And so a good steward uses his gifts and his talents and their abilities so that they can bring honor to the house. Bring glory to the house. And so, Colossians 1:24-29, Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. In other words, Paul is using his gifts and his abilities to advance the kingdom of God, to benefit the church. That is what you and I are called to do. This is a key to the kingdom. It is a principle. When you invest in the church, in the house of God, then your house is covered by God. Because you have focused your interests on the house of the Lord, and as a result, God focuses his interest on your house. And so this is a principle of exchange. And this is why so many Christians find themselves experiencing the same problems over and over and over again, and there's this reciprocal experience of a negative experience or a difficult and hardship experience. It's because of a lack of investment in the kingdom of God. And so the world consumes your goods, or the evil of this world, the spirit of evil, is now influencing and overtaking your house. And that's because we're in warfare. right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And because there's this warfare going on, God is saying, I'm giving you the keys in order to navigate the kingdom so that you can hold on to the things that I'm providing for you. So that when the blessings of God come, you can keep them. You can hold on to them because you're applying divine strategies in this warfare to overcome the devil's tactics. You know that song, I Want to Take Back What the Devil Stole From Me? You know that song? You know how we sing that song? Well, guess who else sings that song? The devil sings that song. The devil sings that song. He says, I'm going to take back what God blessed you with. Because when you go into the land, we dispossess the kingdom of darkness in order to reclaim it for the kingdom of God. And then the kingdom of darkness says, oh no, I'm going to take back what God blessed you with, and I'm reclaiming it for myself. And that's the warfare that we're all in every single day. Satan and his legions are looking to rob God of the glory that comes through your testimony, your abilities, your life and experiences, so that when people say, I'm a Christian, and you go, wait, what? Really? And why would we say that? We say that because the evidence doesn't support the claim. And that's because Satan has robbed people. And when Satan robs you, you lose your testimony. You lose the very thing that God has given you so that you can proclaim and magnify the Lord. You lose out on the Magnificat of God. And so God has given us the keys to the kingdom to overcome all of these things. Verse 25 says, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit. In other words, what he's saying is that my gifts and my abilities, I'm using them to advance the kingdom of God so that you can benefit from it, so that we can all benefit. That's why he wrote them down. We have the Bible today because people were operating in their gifts and their abilities, and it was the testimony of it was written down. And that's what you and I ought to do. You ought to write down, you should have a little journal, and I highly recommend this, of the things that God has done for you. And you should write it down and leave it as an inheritance to your children so that they can remember what God has done for you. It's not just stories in a book. It's not just Bible stories. It's actual real life happening, and it's the principles we get from the book. We get the principles from the Word of God. But the actual experience is something that we have each and every day. God is doing amazing things in our life. He's creating these Magnificat experiences so that we have reason to rejoice. We have reason to praise God. People don't praise God because they don't know what God is doing. That's why you go to churches and nobody says anything. They just kind of sit there and they just watch like they're watching a show. You guys aren't doing that today, are you? No? No? But there's this interaction and there's this exchange. Why? Because we're excited because we know God honors his word. And he does amazing things. And God is alive and he is vibrant and he is active, engaging in my life. Forget Peter, James, and John. I mean, not forget them, but that's good. But it's better when it's me, Bev, Shell, and Bev, and the kids, right? Isn't it better then? Listen, wouldn't you rather let them write a story about what God is doing in my house? Hallelujah. Let God write a story about what's happening in your house. That's much better than just going, well, the Word of God says, right? Isn't that right? The Word of God says it. It's better to say, hey, this is what I learned from the Word of God, and we apply this principle, and look at God. Look at God. Look what God has done. And then people say, oh, what do I need to do? I need what you have, right? And now you have a door open because that's a key. That's a key. When the world can see what God is doing in your life and when you testify of what God is doing in your life, then the world wants a key. They want a key to that door. And you and I have the keys to the kingdom because we have the principles of the Word of God to apply in our life. And so, according to the stewardship from God, the stewardship that you and I have from God, we are using our gifts, our talents, our abilities, whatever they are, to benefit the kingdom of God. And this is what God is doing for each of us. Verse 26 says, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. This mystery is now revealed. We understand these principles of God and his word. Why? Because we have the whole collection of God's word, and we can put all these principles together, and our life is completely transformed in ways that people who, before the printing press, they couldn't experience it to the degree that we have, because they relied on somebody telling them the stories or reading the word and telling it to them, because they didn't have their own copy. They didn't have their own Bible. So even the Jews would sit on the Sabbath day and hear the reading of the law of Moses from sun up to sun down. They had to remember that all week long because they didn't have a book to go back and refer to. They couldn't go back and meditate on the word or on the scripture. They had to remember it. And that's why it was important to be there every Sabbath day to hear the word of God. And it was repeated over and over again just so that you can remember it. Repetition is good to help you remember. And that is what God is doing in our lives. And we have different life experiences that happen over and over again until we get it. You say, oh, you didn't learn that lesson? All right, we'll do that one over. And how many times have you heard people complain that things keep happening to them? Over and over. Well, it's like one, every time you see them, they got another negative story. And that's because if you don't learn the lesson, you got to take the class again. Isn't that right? Right. If you want to pass, if you want a degree, you got to keep taking the class. You can't fail the class and then just, well, we're just going to move on. Well, some schools work like that, I guess, right? But that's not how it works, right? In God's kingdom, if you don't pass the test, you do over. You start over. And God says, all right, well, we're just going to do that class again. And then you go around and around and around and around. And people are saying, oh, I don't know why this is happening to me. Well, it's happening to you because you didn't do anything different from what had happened to you the time before that. So we have to change and align ourselves with the principles of God so that we can have a divine experience. This is the mystery that's being revealed. He says, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. They were struggling with understanding, wait, how can God be in us? How could Christ be in us? And they couldn't get this mystery. And that's because God is spirit. The human body is essentially a house for a spirit. That's what your body is. You are a spirit being that dwells in a body. That's what we are. We are spirit beings. God breathed in us. Man became a living soul, right? That's what the soul is. The soul is the spirit part of man that gives you identity. It acknowledges, it's the thing that makes you, you. Hallelujah. That's why when the body dies, the soul goes back to God. Hallelujah. It stays alive. That's what it means to have eternal life. Your soul transitions from this body to the spirit realm, to where the kingdom of God is. And that's what happens when people die. When people die, their souls are removed from the body, and the body just stops working because there's no life in it. You follow me? So it's not that, oh, it was the bus that killed me. No, it was the fact that your soul left that killed you. The bus did hurt you pretty bad, but it may have ultimately led to death, but it was your soul leaving your body that actually caused you to die. And so you and I need a revelation. That's why he says God willed to make known. God is always willing to make things known. That's what God does. And a lot of people say, well, prove to me that God is it. That's what God is doing all the time. God is proving himself every single day, all the time. It's just that people aren't willing to acknowledge that that's God. They try to find some other thing to identify it as, but really it's God. It's the story of the man who says, oh, well, I can make a man. We can make man. We can do it in the laboratory. We've come up with this whole thing. We can take the minerals of the earth and the dust of the earth, and we can create man. And does this whole thing as he goes before God, and then he explains this whole process of how it can be done. And God says, yes, yes, it can. It can be done. Yes, I see. You can do it. But he says, you have one problem. What's that? The man says. And God says, find your own dirt. Find your own dirt. Get your own minerals. No, that's my stuff. I created that. You gotta get your own. Because God is the one who established everything. God made people to be creative. That's what it means to be made in God's image or to be made like God. We have the same attributes that God has. He is a creative God. He makes things. I don't know very many people that don't enjoy doing something creative, right? And so, you know, that's because that's the way God designed us. And so you and I are people who just, we need a revelation from God as to who we are so that the kingdom of God can be worked through us so that we can accomplish the will of God so the kingdom of God can be glorified. Paul says, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Why? Because humanity is incomplete without God in their life. People are incomplete without God. We all need God in our lives. That's why people are like they are, walking around like zombies. Who are you? I don't know. You know, what? And, you know, every day somebody's identifying as something else. When you don't know who you are, then it's hard to fulfill your purpose. And that's why the world is in confusion. But the world can be in confusion all at once. Doesn't surprise me. I say, let them go ahead. Do all the crazy stuff you're doing. I'm not from this world. I'm from another world. I represent the kingdom of God. Everything that I do, all of my preaching and my teaching, all of my relationships, all the things I do are designed for the purpose at advancing the kingdom of God, bringing honor to the house of the Lord, bringing honor to the kingdom of God. That's my purpose. That's your purpose as a child of God. That is what we're all about. We can't expect a heathen to act in the ways of righteousness. So don't be upset. Don't be upset with the world. Their problem is they've lost their keys. They've lost their keys. They can't find them. They can't think straight. All they can think about is, where's my key? I don't know. And that's why when you ask them about anything reasonable and anything that has sense to it, they can't answer. They don't have anything to say because they've lost their keys. And when you lose your keys, you have no principles in which to operate on, especially when your keys are not kingdom-based. God has given us the key. And when you're operating according to the kings of the kingdom, you are made complete. You are made whole. Your whole life experiences will shift and change when you apply biblical principles in your life. God will raise you up. That's why he says, for this purpose also, I labor, striving according to my own strength, according to my own skills. No, according to his power, God's power, which is working mightily where? Within me. Why? How can God's power work within you unless you receive God? You need to receive God into your life, into your heart. And as Christ comes alive in you, he guides you. The Spirit of God will quicken you. He will move you. He will mold you. He will shape you. The anointing of God, he will stir in you. God will speak to you. He will give you witty inventions and ideas. Things will come to you that you would have never have thought of. And God enables you to come alive because the Spirit of God is working in you. And that's why you can say, Holy Spirit, where are the keys? Show me the keys. Show me the keys. Lord, where did I put those keys? Where are they? And God will show you. And that's why we don't do anything without prayer and supplication. Isn't that what Paul says, right, Philippians? Right, why? We have to acknowledge him in all our ways, right? Isn't that what Proverbs says? When we acknowledge him, when we're aware, when we're communing with God, we're saying, God, give me a revelation of what to say to this person in this moment, in this situation. Or, Lord, I have a situation at hand. What do I do? Help me, Lord, to make the right choices and to do the right thing. We're communing with God. We're talking to God. And we're saying, God, reveal it to me. I need a revelation. Because that's what the keys are for. The keys are for the purpose of binding and loosing. But you need to know what to bind and loose. And a lot of times we bind them, we're loosing the wrong thing. Or we're just got it all wrong completely. And so God unlocks the mysteries to bind opposing spirits. Every time you engage another person, you're engaging a spirit. Everyone, there is not a person alive that doesn't have a spirit in them. And you need to know what kind of spirit you're dealing with, because you have no idea. Because the spirit's job is to present a face. And it's designed to deceive you into buying in to whatever it's selling. And if we are not able to discern the spirits, like the Word of God says, we will be deceived. And we'll be deceived by people, we'll be deceived by situations and circumstances, because there's a spiritual dynamic and element that's tied to everything you experience in life. There are spirits behind it. And you and I have to be discerning. We have to be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And God navigates us through so that we're able to overcome obstacles. And we don't fall into pits and troubles. And it's not an easy thing to do. Sometimes you miss God, right? Sometimes you miss God and you end up in trouble. And then your wife is going, "Didn't I tell you? I told you about this and that and that and that," right? Right? Has that ever happened to you? Right? All the guys are going, "Yep, all the time. God is good all the time. Yep, all the time." I'm telling you, that wife is the Spirit of God sometimes. Right? And you got to take a beating. And you're like, "Oh, God, forgive me." You wouldn't repent unless your wife was on your back, right? You'd be like, "Oh, God." You would just be like, "Yep, I messed that up. Okay, let's next." But your wife was dead. "Yeah, and you're like, "Oh, no, please, oh, God, oh, yes, I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, God, forgive me, oh, Lord." Right? Now you're really brokenhearted. You're repentant, right? Because that voice is not going to go away. So God uses people in our lives to unlock mysteries so that we can be set free. And when we can follow these principles, God does amazing things. And we have a life experience that is the opposite of the world. And when the world is in bondage and oppression, we're liberated and we're free. And everybody's worried about things because they're listening to the wrong voices. And when your perspective is earthly, you miss out on divine opportunities. And what God wants to do is raise us up so that our perspective is from above. Have you ever flown in a plane? Right? You ever fly in a plane? Yeah, all right, a few of you have, yeah, right? When you look down at the ground, what do you see? Little toy people with little cars and little houses. You know, you might be able to see, you know, and it just looks nice, right? You fly over, especially you see the land is all cut in squares and everything is like, I'm like, how did that happen? You know, where is that? You know, you don't see it when you're on the ground. Everything just looks random. But when you go up, you're like, "Oh, look at that. Everything is kind of nicely laid out." Has that ever made you go, "Huh?" Right? It amazes me every time I go on a plane. I look down. I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Man, is that an actual road? That's like everybody's prop. Everything is just so nice." And yeah, but you get on the ground, it's like, confusion. This stuff is just all over the place. And that's because when your perspective is from above, you have greater insight into the realities of what's happening in the world. And that is what God does. He raises us up so that we can experience things from God's perspective, and the opposing spirits, the lies of the enemy, the tricks of the enemy are not effective against us because we have a revelation. We have a revelation from God. In fact, in Revelation 1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, John, to show to his bondservants, the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. So God is using angels to communicate to John. God uses people to communicate with other people. He uses angels to communicate with other people. God's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit himself will speak to you. He will help you to see, because God wants you to have a revelation. God wants all of us to have an understanding. He doesn't want us to be caught off guard. He doesn't want us to just be, you know, taking hits. You know, it's like, oops, sorry, I saw that, but I didn't tell you because I was busy. I don't know. But that's not how God works. God doesn't want you to fall into the pit. He doesn't want us to take hits. He wants to navigate us through so that we can overcome. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, to which he has sent his bondservant, that he communicated. The fact that he communicated means he wants us to know things. God wants, that's why prayer is so important. Prayer is not just, Lord, I need one of these, I need that. Can you fix that? Can you heal this? Lord, can you do, you know, all right, amen. Thank you, Lord, right? No, no, that's not even prayer. That's like Amazon list. You're ordering like for stuff to buy. No, but prayer is when we're talking to God. We're communicating where God is. You're saying, God, reveal to me the mysteries. There are things I don't know. There are things that are going to happen to me tomorrow. I need to be prepared for. Lord, prepare me today so that what I'm about to face when I leave this place or when I go here or I go there, Lord, I need your covering. I need your direction. I need you to guide my steps. Help me, Lord, to overcome. I know that I'm going to meet this person, and I know they can be challenging, or I'm going to deal with this situation or that. But we bring it before the Lord, and we say, God, give us a revelation. I don't understand. People say, I don't know what to pray for. You don't know what to pray for? Good grief. What are you, in a coma? If you have somewhere to go, you need to pray about that. If you are involved in something, you need to pray about that. You can't just take it for granted. You can't just assume it's going to happen. That's why random things happen to you. Random things happen because you never talked to God about it. God would have said, by the way, duck. You would say, duck? Oh, duck. Oh, okay. And that thing would have went, shoo. Otherwise, you would have been knocked in the head. And you would be going, oh, God, heal me, Lord. And he's like, look, I was trying to tell you to duck, but you didn't even give me a chance. Restart. Reboot. And that is what God is wanting us to understand. Life doesn't have to go the way life goes for you. You have keys. And when you run into a locked door, you just need the right key to open the door. And God will give that to you. God will give you that key. And there are some doors that are open that you need to lock so stuff doesn't come in. Because there are things coming into your house, coming into your life. They have access to our kids. They have access to our stuff. And it's damaging. And we have to lock these things down. We have to lock them out so that we are protecting. But the Spirit of God is the one who gives you the ability to even know what to do and how to do it. That's what the Word of God is for. That is the purpose behind the keys of the kingdom. And so it says in verse 2, who testified of the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. If you don't see anything, you've got no testimony. If you don't see anything, you will have no testimony. And that's why, again, you need a revelation. You say, God, show me your glory, right? Isn't that what Moses said? Show me your glory. Lord, show me what you're doing so that I can testify, so that I can proclaim it, so I can share it. And when people say, oh, where is God? I can say, here he is. And I can say, look what the Lord has done. God is able to do abundantly and exceedingly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And we testify. And that is why it's important to write things down, because in 10 years you might not remember. Well, the Lord has never done anything for me. Well, I remember you came for prayer one time at the altar 5 years ago, and we were praying like for weeks over stuff, and then it broke, and then you didn't even come back. And now here you are again with a whole other problem, and you want prayer again, you want help again. But guess what? You don't even remember the last time that God did something for you. And that is why it's happening to you again. Because you don't remember, so you take the class again. And God will keep repeating the lesson over and over and over again till you die. And if you're genuinely born again, and I hope, pray that you are, you'll stand before God and God will say, yeah, how many times did you take that class? Says, man, you took that class for 30 years. Still didn't pass. But you'll have a revelation now, don't you? Hallelujah. Yeah, you had a pretty lousy life, but you're in glory now. Hallelujah. But you don't have to live like that. God can help you overcome and navigate through obstacles, challenges, and difficulties. And you can go through in your right mind. You can go through with a sound mind, right? Power, love, sound mind, not a spirit of fear or being intimidated. That's what God does. And so it says that we have to testify to the word of God. That's what John is doing. He's testifying. The whole reason John had this revelation is because he was going to share it. He was to share it with the churches. In fact, it says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. The time is near. The time is near for all of us. Not only the time of Christ's coming, not just that, but the time is near when the devil is going to show up at your house, at your door, in your life, and he's going to try to deceive you, and you're going to need the words of the prophecy of God. That means you're going to need to have heard from God, had a revelation from God, so that you will know or anticipate what the enemy is going to do so you can move out the way. That's why walking with God is important. That's why having a relationship with God is so important. You can go through life like all you want. You know, you can do it. You can do it. You can say yes, you know. And you can go on through life, you know, playing video games and watching TV and movies and carrying on and on. And I'm not saying any of that stuff is bad. I like those things too. But my focus is not there. My focus is on, wait, I need to hear from God. I need to hear from God. And I need to know what to say or what to do when I engage a client at work, or when I have to deal with another situation or circumstances that come my way. I need to hear from God. I can't be there in the midst of the problem going, oh God, I need help now. I mean, you can do that, but you don't want to be in that place. Now you're up against the wall. You want to say, okay, God, show me what's coming so I can position myself now so that I can be ready with whatever tools that I need in order to deal with the situation. Because once it's on you, now it is what it is. And so God has given us this insight so that we can experience God. So revelation opens our awareness of what God has already done. Revelation opens our awareness of what God has already done. God is doing things in advance of our experience of things. And so as we are going through life, God can intervene and make things straight before we even get to it. And that is what we want. But that requires a prayerful life, a prayerful lifestyle where you're praying and you're asking God to go before you. Because if you don't ask him, he's not, you know, the word of God says you have not because you ask not. That is a key. That is a principle of God. And so verse 18 says, Matthew 16, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Right? This is Jesus talking to Peter, and this is after, you know, Peter had, done what he did, and Jesus was like, hey, the gates of hell will not prevail. And that's true for you and me. No matter what you're going through in your life, the gates of hell will not prevail against you when you apply the principles of the Word of God. When you operate and use those keys, use the keys that God has given you. He says in verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Do you catch that? And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. That means before you even bind or loose, it's already been bound or loosed. So that means you can't just bind and loose things unless you know what was bound and loosed in heaven. Hello? I mean, Who doesn't like saying, Satan, I bind you? I mean, there's just something powerful about that. We love that. Satan, I bind you. And he goes, yeah, how? See, that's the part we leave out. He says, yeah, how? Because the only way to bind Satan is to apply a divine principle. And when we do the will of God, when we apply the principles of God's word, when we use the keys of the kingdom, Satan is bound. And he's like, hey, what? No! Because now you bound him. You can't bind Satan just by saying, Satan, I bind you. Even though I love saying it. And we say it all the time. Well, that doesn't bind Satan. That just puts him on notice. I bind you. He says, ooh. Let me see if they know what they're talking about. Let me see if they know how to do it. And not until you take out those keys that you can bind Satan. Because otherwise, you're just religious talking. It's about the keys. You need the keys to the kingdom. That's why Paul says, meditate on the word of God day and night. Because in them, they are the keys of the kingdom. Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, you search the scriptures because in them you think they have life. But they are that which testify of me. He says, you're making a god of the word. But the word is just a testimony. It is the opportunity so that you can apply divine principles in your life and become a doer of the word. And then that's what binds Satan. You know how you bind Satan? Walk in righteousness. Do you know how you get blessed? He says, God will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. That's a key. So that means if you walk in obedience to God, you walk uprightly, then all the blessings of God are going to start to flow your way. You're going to start to prosper. You're going to start to do well. You're going to have a different life experience. But when you're walking in the ways of the world or the mentality of the world, then you just left your keys in your pocket. You're standing at the door. Where are my keys? I need the keys. Somebody open this door. Boom, 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 boom. Right? Fred Flintstone. Is that still a thing? Right? Yeah. Wilma! Right? Right? Yeah. Thank God for all you guys who are from my generation. I just love that. Yes. Hallelujah. Right? You know, those are the good old days, right? And so, you know, the idea is that God gives us authority. This authority that we have, it comes from God because Jesus has the key. We have to operate in the right spirit. We can't operate in the spirit of this world or the mentality of the world and think that we're going to have a godly result. It's just not going to work. There are principles that the Word of God gives us that as we apply them, we're able to unlock things. We're able to loose things. We're able to experience a divine intervention in God. But we have to be operating in the Spirit. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, right? In all things, we have to be filled with in the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. That means in you, right? You ever fill a cup from the outside, right? You can't turn a cup upside down and fill it, right? The cup has to be in its container position so it can hold things. And our soul has to be open before God. We have to say, God, fill me with your spirit. Fill me with yourself. Lord, help me to hear your voice and follow you like Jesus said. He said, if you don't have my spirit, you don't belong to me. He said, without the spirit of Christ, you're not his. So we need the spirit of God. So God, fill me with your spirit. Revelation 1:10 says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, right? Here's John. He was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Could you imagine that? Coming to church in the spirit. What? Could you imagine what this church was like if everybody here came in the spirit? Instead of the spirit of heaviness and tiredness. Man, I'm telling you, man, I would have a lot of competition because you guys would be outrunning me. And I'm old. I'm telling you, the life is not in the age, it's in the spirit. And when you're operating in the spirit, your age becomes irrelevant. And the spirit and the power of God is ignited in your life. And that is why Brother Victor, he shared yesterday, the men's retreat, right? He said, Caleb was 85 years old. And he said, my eyes and my strength are just as it was 40 years ago. I'm just as strong then, right? Abraham, he was 70, 75 when he went off into this mission from God. 75, he was like, come on, family, we're going camping. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God endues you. I'll never forget, I was a little kid, and I saw old people, 80s, in their 80s. They were jumping like this, glorifying and praising God. I was amazed because they jumped for an hour. And I'm going, good God. I'm like, that's what I want when I get old. Hallelujah. That's what I want. I want to be around people who are old and not ashamed to jump. Hallelujah. Oh, your bones are weak because you stopped jumping too soon. Hallelujah. You got to stay alive. You got to keep life in you. And you got to let the Spirit of God rejuvenate you. Let God ignite you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God is able to do amazing things in your life. And that is why the Spirit of God has come into our lives, into the world, so that we can glorify God. We need to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. In verse 11, it says, write in a book that what you see and send it to the seven churches. We've got to write things down, saints of God. Write things down so that your family will have something to refer back to, so that you can remind yourself down the road all the things that God has done for you. I think I shared this with you, that my wife and I, one day we sat down and we just thought from the time we got married until then, which wasn't too long ago, till recently, all the things that God has done for us. And we just wrote down a list. We had pages of like miraculous things, that things that we were like, yeah, remember this? Remember how we were crying and we didn't understand how this was gonna work out and things were so bad and we were just laying things and how God, all of a sudden God just worked. We had a whole list of stuff that God did that's just been amazing. And these are the things we all need to have, this list. We need to have this list in our lives. You guys are praying for things. You are asking God for intervention. You know, you're looking to him. And we need to keep track of these things, because otherwise, how do you glorify God? How do you glorify God if you don't even remember what God has done in your life? And so verse 12 says, then I turned to see a voice that was speaking to me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. So here's this description. And he's saying that there were in the midst of the lampstands, who's in the middle? Jesus, the Lord. And we know that the lampstands represent what? The seven churches, right? Hallelujah. He goes on, he says, Christ is in the midst of us is the point, right? So we know that whatever we're doing, wherever we are, whatever God has called us to do, we're never alone. God is in the midst of what you're doing. Once you accepted Christ, once Christ came into your life, God will never leave you nor forsake you, the Word of God says. He will never leave you. You're not alone. It may look like you're alone. It may feel like you're alone, but that's because you're not worshiping. Once you start to worship God, once you start to glorify God, the presence of God will consume you. And you'll be so fortified by God's presence that you'll think of yourself as a fool for thinking that you were all by yourself. Hallelujah. And I've been in some really tough situations and felt like I was totally alone until I started to go, Holy Spirit, are you there? Hallelujah. And God was like, yeah, remember me? And I'm like, oh, hallelujah, good. And you just got to pulse check yourself. You got to pulse check yourself. And when we worship God, the Spirit of God opens up. When we call upon the Lord, the portal of heaven opens. God begins to commune with us. He pours down his presence, his strength, his power into our lives. In verse 18, it says, the living one and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Here is Jesus. He is saying, yes, I am still alive, and I have the keys of death. Jesus went and took the keys from the devil. Jesus went at the cross. He went, the word of God tells us that he went down into Hades, and he reclaimed what the devil had stole. And that's why we could say, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? Or vice versa. Right? We could say that because Jesus has the keys. Jesus has all the keys. He's got them all, guys. He's got all the keys. He's got all the keys. And that's why when you call upon the name of the Lord, he says, not this one, not that one. He says, you need this key. And he goes through his list, right? Remember the janitor with the big ring of keys? That guy was always so cool, wasn't he? It was just something about, man, that guy is cool. Look at all the, right? It was like he had the big fat ring of keys with all that on there. I don't know. Is it just a guy thing? I don't know. Maybe it's just like, but for me, I would like, look, I was like, man, that guy is cool. Look at all those. He got so many keys, he can't fit them in his pocket. It's just big ring of keys hanging down. And that's how Jesus is. Jesus has all the keys. You and I, we just go to God. Just go to God. He knows where the keys are. He knows where the keys are. He knows which key you need to open the door that you're standing in front of. He understands the situation that you're in. And that's why you have to write things down, because every time God gives you a key and you open a door, you need to remember that. He says, write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. In other words, let's keep track of everything in the past, in the present, and things that are coming. What are you expecting to deal with in the future that you're asking God to intervene now for? Right? There's things that you are working on that you know you're going to have to deal with, or that is going to happen coming up in the future. We need to bring those things before God now. And we need to write down what it is that we're thinking. So when we get on the other side of it, we can look back and say, look what God has done. Now you can write down, and God answered. Hallelujah. But if you don't write it down, you won't even think about it. It's just going to be something. So how do you glorify God? How do you proclaim and magnify the Lord? You missed on a Magnificat experience simply because you didn't write it down. And that's what God wants us to do. Remember the things that he is doing. Verse 20 says, for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, which in Revelation, the angels represent the pastors over the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches, which represents the people in those churches. So we're all in the hands of God. Hallelujah. We're in God's hands. God is not leaving you or forsaking you. He's not forgotten about you. He's just waiting for you to use your key to open the door. Use your keys to open the door. And when we come to him, he will tell us which key we need to use. God has all the keys. Jesus has all the keys. He has everything you need. Whatever your situation is, there is a key to unlock that so that you can have a godly result, so that the house can benefit, right? Because everything, the whole purpose of having the keys is to benefit the house. That's the authority God has given you so that your house can benefit. Your wife, your kids, your family, your church, fellow church members, people who are interacting in your life, anybody connected to you can be blessed when you operate using the keys of the kingdom of God. And God is glorified. The kingdom of God is glorified because you're doing things to benefit the house. And that's what this is all about. In Revelation 3:7, you could summarize it like this. And we'll skip to the underlined part. It says, he who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this. He is the one doing the speaking. You see who's doing it? Who is the one with the keys? It's Jesus. Jesus has the keys. This is Revelation 7. Remember what was in Isaiah 22:22. Jesus came to redeem our authority. He came to bring us the tools and the resources that we need to overcome in this life, to live a life that will give you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and the Spirit of God and the glory of God will manifest himself in your life. So the next time you lose your keys, you ask the Holy Spirit. You ask God to show you where those keys are. You know the answer is that Jesus has all the keys. He's got all the keys. You think the janitor had a big key ring. Jesus has an even bigger key ring. He's got all the keys of the kingdom. And he is able to do abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. He can unlock things that seem impossible. He can lock things and block things from happening that you feel are destined to overwhelm you. God can be your guard and your shield. He will protect you in his house. He will sustain you. He will keep you. He will enable you. He will empower you. All you have to do is use the authority that God has given you. God wants to lay his key on your shoulder. He's given you authority. Whatever you shut, no one can open. And whatever you open, no one can shut. Why? Because you have foresight, you have insight, and you're able to recognize what God is doing. Because you have a relationship with him that brings revelation into your life that enables you to overcome. Where is the key? It's on your shoulder. God has given you the authority. He has given you the ability to operate according to the principles of his word. His glory will fill your life. And he will be your covering, and you will overcome. Where are the keys? They're on your shoulders, because Jesus came down from on high, and he enabled you to have this magnificat experience so that you can proclaim and magnify the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Have any problems, all you need is the right key. And when you talk to God, you walk with God, when you commune with him, he will give you a revelation as to what you need. Don't underestimate God's ability to intervene in your life. Don't underestimate how much God is involved in wanting to help you overcome the challenges that life brings our way. God wants to bring revelation to us. He wants to help us. All we need to do is ask of him. Write things down so you don't forget. You got a bad memory? Well, write things down. Write things down. We all have a bad memory when it comes to remembering what God is doing. And we have to remember these things, not only for ourselves, but for the sake of our family, for the sake of our household, for the sake of one another. You have skills and gifts and talents that will benefit other people in the congregation. You have understanding and awareness. You've had experiences in God that need to be shared. Don't let them go to fall by the wayside. Let them go to waste, but share them so we can all learn and grow together. That's what the kingdom of God is about. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the house of God. We are mere servants of the Lord who have been given authority to represent the kingdom of God. And this is what our lives are really all about. And when God is glorified, your life will change. When God is honored, your life experiences will shift. And you will have a whole different life because of God's revelation and your application of the principles of God as you use the right keys to overcome the strategies of the enemy. God will make a way. He is able and He is willing. All we need to do is trust Him and follow His direction. Let Christ in your heart. If you've never received Him, you ask Him to come in. Ask Him to give you a brand new start. Ask Him to renew you, to revive you. Ask Him to give you an understanding. And God will make a way. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your word today. And we just ask, oh God, that You would be lifted up and exalted in our lives. That we would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. And that the glory of God would fill our hearts and our lives and renew our minds as the Word of God brings revelation to us, that we may have a divine impact on the world around us as we witness and testify of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.